So we're kicking off a new teaching focus today on Easter Sunday called Rise Up, and you'll kind of pick up on what that's all about as we move throughout the morning. So John chapter 20, if you have your physical copy of the Bible, that'll work. If you want to pull it out and look at it on your phone, we're definitely okay with that too. Just, don't be playing around on Facebook. That's all good, but you can pull it out. And we use the Bible app, so if you're familiar with the Bible app, it used to be called YouVersion. You actually go under that and hit, in your menu, hit events, and the Grove Church will pop up there. It's got all the sermon notes and scripture and everything if you want to follow along in that as well. So, the resurrection is kind of a crazy thing. Like, if we can just be honest and talk about it for a second, we're talking about a dead man coming back to life. I mean, when you get down to it, that's a little strange. That's not something we talk about every day. It's not something that just kind of makes sense to us. And so I just thought on that line, I just Googled this week. It's amazing what you can find when you Google. I just Googled things that don't make sense. And I had some interesting things pop up. Have you ever been in front of a vending machine before and just like wanted to just like take the thing out? Like, anybody ever been there? Maybe you're like this dude. Like, you're just figuring out, like, how am I going to tackle this thing? How am I going to take it out? It took my money. Or maybe you were like, me and some of my friends when we were in high school and we were broke, you didn't have money, or in college, and like, you'd check it, right? It's like, maybe I could get lucky. Today's the day, I get my free drink, or I get something out. I don't know, we're all good people. None of us ever did that, right? You never tried to steal from the vending machine. But you think about, like, a poor innocent vending machine, like, what could ever happen? Did you actually know that you're more likely to get killed, you're twice as likely to get killed by a vending machine than you are a shark? There were twice as many people last year died from vending machines than they did from sharks. That's crazy. It blew my mind. I was like, that doesn't make sense. I came across something else that was interesting. How many of you like strawberries? Any strawberry people? Yeah, we all love strawberries, right? Did you know it's actually not a berry? Yeah, like, scientifically, however they categorize things, it's like, it's technically not a berry, like a banana is. It's got something to do. All right, you can go check it out. But I was like, that doesn't even make sense. Why do we call it a berry? It's like trying to convince our kids, like teaching them the English language doesn't make a lot of sense. It's like, I know the K makes a K sound, but when it's at the beginning of knife, it's silent. I don't get it. I don't understand it. It's this, actually never. Like, and you're wanting me to be moved by the resurrection. And so I would say, not to put us all in categories, but I'm going to. You probably fit into kind of one of four realms of thought when it comes to the resurrection this morning. One, you're maybe like, just whatever, like, too far out there, dude's not coming back from dead, but somebody told me I needed to be here today, so I'm here. Like, if that's where you're at, that's cool. Like, that's fine. We're glad you're here. Maybe you're like, well, I don't know, like, they haven't found his body. Maybe, I guess. So maybe that's where you're at. That's where you're at. Glad you're here. Maybe you're like, yeah, I believe it. It happened 2,000 years ago. Good. But I hope you don't talk too long. I got to get to lunch. So maybe you're there. Welcome. Glad you're here. I will talk too long and you will be late for lunch. No, I'm just kidding. But maybe you're in that fourth category where you would say, you know what? Yeah. Like, I believe the resurrection. Like, I believe it happened. I believe everything it is. Like, I'm following Jesus. And, yes, I'm all in. I'm just ready to hear about it again today. Wherever you're at in the midst of that, I just want to say it's okay. God's big enough to meet you wherever you're at in that, and there's nothing, and so personal, because he knows you better than you know yourself, that he would speak so into what you're going through right now that whatever you believe about the resurrection would only grow more toward Jesus because of what he speaks into your heart this morning. That's not something we can do through song or video or me talking. That's going to be something that God does. And so just get ready. That's been our prayer this morning, is that God would speak so directly and personal to you that there's no way you could deny that there's not something unique that's happening and that has happened. And so the big idea I want us to unpack from John this morning is, well, I'll say it like this, is that Jesus rose up so that you could rise up and fulfill your calling and be who you were made to be. Jesus rose up so you could rise up and fulfill your calling and be who God made you to be. And you may be thinking, like, I don't really know who God made me to be. I don't really have much of a calling in my life. Like, I'm not called to be a pastor. I'm not called to be a missionary. So I don't really, God doesn't really care that much about me, right? Like, I don't really have that big of a calling in my life. Let me just say this. Wherever God has you right now, that's where he's called you. Whatever your season of life looks like right now, middle school, high school, college, newlywed, parents with young kids, high school age kids, grandparents, somewhere in the middle of all that. Maybe you don't even know where you're at. Wherever God has you, that's where he's called you. And I believe this morning that in the midst of that, he's not looking for your performance. He's not looking for you to try to check off every religious box so that he can maybe decide to love you more. He's already demonstrated how much love he has for you. He's just wanting you to embrace the resurrection, the fact that Jesus rose up, and he's wanting you to rise up and be the person that he has called you to be. And I know you may be thinking, like, well, that's easy for you to say, like, you're a pastor. No, that has nothing to do with me being a pastor. Like, this is for every single one of us. And your initial thought is like, well, I don't know that I can do this. Like, my relationships are already messy and they're tough. Like, a marriage isn't going exactly like I thought it would. I don't like my job. I feel like it's pointless. Like, there's just, I get up, it's the same grind every single day. I just don't understand why God has me where he has me. Maybe you're like, I'm trying to live a life of integrity and do things the right way, but it just seems like sin keeps creeping up and getting into my life, and people all around me could care less about integrity. And maybe you're just getting tired of just doing the things that you feel like you're supposed to be doing. And I don't know what your calling or who you feel you were meant to be this morning. I don't know exactly how you feel about that, but I know a lot of us tend to push back from that and just say, I just don't think I can do this. Well, the good news of the resurrection this morning we find in Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 11, and then we're going to jump into our John text, but I want to share this with you. It says, you, however, talking about those of us, if you've fully embraced Jesus, resurrected Jesus, and you're following him as your Lord and Savior, Paul says to the church in Rome, he says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong in him. Verse 10 says, but if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But I love verse 11. Verse 11 says, you have no excuse to no longer think or to continue thinking that you'll never be able to be who God wants you to be. Verse 11 eliminates that because it says this. It says, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So that is the excuse eliminator this morning, right? It says that if you, as you come into an understanding of who God has called you to be, and as you become more aware of where God has you in the season of life you're in and the things that you're going through, when you feel as if you can't do it, that's right, you can't do it. But through the power of the resurrection and the story of the resurrection and the hope that comes from that, because Jesus rose up, you can rise up and be who you were called to be, because that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead has been unleashed and can take up residence inside of every single one of us. And if you are a follower of Jesus, to look at God and say, I can't be who you've called me to be, is saying that that is harder than him raising Jesus from the dead. And look, I know some of our lives, mine included, get a little messy and a little messed up, right? But I don't think any of us have a task in front of us harder than raising the dead. And God's already knocked that one out of the park. So whatever you're going through, wherever you're at this morning, I just want to encourage you with the hope of the resurrection that says Jesus rose up so you can rise up and fulfill that calling and be who you were meant to be. So let's unpack this. Let's look at John chapter 20, and we're just going to kind of walk back through the resurrection story this morning. And there's a good chance you're maybe familiar with this, and you've heard this. And so my prayer this morning is that this is not just another Easter Sunday where you're hearing the story again and you check it off, and then you grab some more cookies and donuts on the way out, and we're done. And it's like, yay, Jesus, he's still alive. No, like let God speak fresh into this story as we read through it. So we're just going to kind of walk through it a few sections at a time. We're going to look at verses 1 through 10, first of all. Now, as we read through this, I don't know if you've ever noticed this before in this account of it, but as John is writing this, and I love how God kind of has a little bit of a sense of humor in this. If you'll notice, John refers to himself as the one whom Jesus loved in this. But there's this little competitiveness that's in this as they talk about racing to the tomb. Just, it's kind of funny, as you'll see in this. I don't know why it's written like this, but it's just kind of funny. So if you even need to laugh a little bit, it's okay this morning. Like in the midst of the resurrection and the death and the struggle of life and then Jesus coming alive, there's like this little race going on between John and Peter that he just wants to make sure that we understand that John was faster than Peter. It's kind of funny as you read through this. It's easy to miss it, but there we go. Let's read through this. Starting verse 1. It says, "Now on the first day of the week, we're running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first." It's like, who cares? Like, all right, yay, John, you're faster than Peter. You want a trophy? Like, whatever. So anyway, verse 5. "And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloth lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloth lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloth, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first," see, it's crazy. I don't know why he wrote it like this, "also went in, and he saw and believed." And that's key. Look at that again. "So then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed." Verse 9. "For as yet they did not understand the scriptures, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their home." I really want to focus in on verses 9 and 10 right there. Because, as I said, Jesus rose up so that we could rise up and fulfill our calling and what the resurrection means for us. So there's got to be this moment where it clicks for us. And we see that happen here, but you've probably had some of these moments in your life. Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody where you realize you really have no business in that conversation because they're way too smart? Anybody ever been there before? I stepped into one of those on Friday. I was playing basketball, and in between games, it was my turn to sit out with this other dude, and I thought he was a professor at UT, so I was like, hey, this could be a cool conversation. So I was like, hey, man, what do you teach? Like, you teach at UT? He's like, oh, no, I don't teach. And I was like, oh, okay, what do you do? He's like, I research. I was like, okay. I was like, well, what do you research? And he started breaking down like this disease that he's researching. And he was telling me about how they're like injecting stuff into these mice and like tracing how it migrates like through their body and into their brain cells. And they're trying to track this disease and figure out like when it starts so that they can get ahead on it and then try to jumpstart a cure. And he was just telling me about all this. And I'm just sitting there and I'm like, whoa, like, it's one of those moments where you're just like, this dude's a whole lot smarter than me. How do I get out of this conversation? You know, it was like, don't ask me what I do. Like, I just talk about dead people coming back to life. Like, I don't, you're talking about like, and I was like, so are you like going to find a cure for this? And he's like, oh, like, I think we got a little bit more to do, but that's another group of people that'll do that. And he kept telling me, and it was really fascinating to hear him talk about it. But I just remember in that moment, I was like, wow, this guy's a lot smarter than me. And it was like, clicked. It reminded me, I'm not that smart. I'm really not that smart at all, but I'm definitely not that smart. But we have those moments where things like they click for us, right? And it makes sense. And what the disciples, what we see it had happened all the way up to this point is that it hadn't clicked for them yet what Jesus had been telling them. He had been saying, he said multiple times, you go back and say through the Gospels, he was trying to tell them, like, I'm living, I'm going to die, and then 3 days later, I'm going to resurrect. And they're all, I'm sure, were like, oh, okay, great, Jesus, sounds good. But they would just continue on. I don't think it ever really set in. So they're feeling all of this, like, at this moment, when they run to the tomb, like, Jesus is not there, and it's not quite clicked for them yet. I mean, I think even as they look to the cross and they watched him die, the feelings of, there's this guy that we followed and we literally left everything we had and here he is and he's dying now and wow, now he's dead. Like, what do we do now? I mean, I don't know exactly what they probably felt in those moments. They had a connection with Jesus in a human form that you and I just won't ever have. And here they see him on a cross, dead. And then they see his body in the tomb. But now, his body's not there anymore. And so we see that Mary's confused, and we'll come back to her in a moment. But as far as the disciples, though, we see, especially with John, he lets us know that he looks in verse 9, and he says he looks in and he sees that there's nothing there. And what does it say? At that moment, he what? He believed. He believed. And it says, because previously they did not yet understand the scripture that Jesus was going to rise from the dead. So they had this moment where it clicked. They were like, oh yeah, that thing Jesus said about he's going to come back from the dead, this is it. It's really happening. And can you imagine just the feelings that they had as they was like, this is it. He really was who he said he was. I mean, the excitement that I'm sure was just radiating out of them when it clicked and God gave them this moment where everything that Jesus said, it was like everything comes together and it clicks. And for us this morning, maybe you're in a place where you know what God has said to you. You've heard it, but it's not quite clicked for you yet. Maybe there's even some promises of God that you're holding on to this morning because they give you hope, but yet you've not yet experienced that hope. That's what the disciples were going through. Maybe you've held on to the verse where God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But yet right now, if you're honest, you're feeling kind of alone. Maybe you're familiar with the verse. You maybe even have it on your wall or sitting on your desk that says, for God works together for the good of all things for those who are called according to his purpose. But what you're going through right now feels absolutely nothing like good. You're wondering, God, when are you going to give this? When am I going to see this hope that I believe in? Or maybe it's the verse where we're challenged and we're encouraged to not grow weary of doing good. And you're trying to do good. You're trying to do what's right. But if you're just honest, you're just getting exhausted and hope is kind of draining out. Maybe there's a sin that just keeps creeping up into your life, and you're familiar with the verse that says that God won't allow you to be tempted above what you are able, and he will make a way for you to get out, but that sin keeps coming at you time after time again. And I just want to say to you this morning, the good news of the resurrection is that Jesus rose up so you could rise up. And if Jesus has overcome death, if in defeating death he declared, my word is good, it's validated. That's what the resurrection did. The resurrection was like a stamp. It was a seal. It was a confirmation that everything Jesus had said, everything God had declared, even going back to the garden in Genesis 3, everything culminated in this moment. You see, if there is no resurrection, our faith means nothing. There is no hope. We could call into question every single word that we read in Scripture. But because the resurrection happened, it's all validated. And because Jesus rose up, now you and I can rise up and we can know that the words that he's spoken, these words that we take in, they mean something to us today. So maybe this morning is the moment where it clicks for you, where God reminds you that the things that he's already spoken, they're going to come to pass. Now here's the thing we have to be careful with though, is you got to make sure that what you are thinking God has said to you is actually something God has said. Because there's a lot of good sayings out there. A lot of really good kind of make you feel good statements out there, right? That aren't really scripture. So you got to make sure that it's not just a phrase you've attached to your wall, but it's actually a words that God has spoken. Sometimes people can pass along things to us. They can say things to us. We can hear it on the radio. See a meme on Facebook. It's like, oh, that's great. I'm going to live by that. God's going to do that. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe it was just the food somebody ate last night and they're feeling really good about themselves or something they had to drink. And it's like, everything's great. But that's not scripture. You got to let yourself go through a process where you're making sure that what you're believing God's going to do is actually something that he said he will do. So I encourage you to do four things when you're looking for confirmation, when you're looking to clarify that. You've got to make sure, is it in the Word? Is it something God's already spoken? God does not speak new revelation. He's already spoken his Word. It's complete. It's done. Now, he reveals it to us and he teaches it to us, so it may feel new to you, but God's already spoken. So is it something that's already been written? Secondly, are you praying about it? What are you sensing? So we worship God in spirit and in truth. The truth of his word and the spirit of the Holy Spirit. So are you sensing that through prayer? So it's the confirmation through the word, confirmation through prayer, confirmation through circumstances. I think God speaks in the way that things move. And the events that happen, obviously the circumstances of the resurrection validated the words that Jesus said. They said, this is it. They declared it visibly. I think God will start to move in your circumstances. And then you get counsel from people that are wiser than you. This is hard because we like to go to people who will what? Agree with us, right? That will say, oh yeah, that's exactly what you need to do. Just go for it. And in their mind, they're thinking, don't you ever do that. But they don't care enough about you to tell you. We need people that will actually speak that truth into us. So I think I've just found in my own life, if you run things through those filters, then we get a better clarity on, is this something God has said? And if God has said it, we can trust it's going to come to pass because Jesus rose up. Next, let's look on in the story. So there's this moment where it clicks, but then we come to verse 11, and we pick up on Mary now. See how John and Peter react. Let's look at how Mary reacted. It says, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. And they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing to him to be the gardener, she said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him. You see, you and I, in the midst of this, we're going to be tempted. There's a little bit more to this conversation. We'll look at it in just a second. You and I are going to be tempted to waste our time with emotions, with worry, with stress and guilt that's actually not even necessary. It's so easy for us to get caught up in our emotions and how we feel. And so here we find Mary. She's weeping. She's crying. It's not yet clicked for Mary. And maybe you can relate to Mary. Maybe the things have not yet quite clicked for you about how in control God is. But here we find Mary. She's weeping and she's crying. And first these angels are like, why are you crying? And then Jesus, who she doesn't realize this, Jesus is like, why are you crying? I mean, at this point, I'm sure she's probably like, is it not obvious why I'm crying? Like, I came here to see Jesus and he's gone and I don't know where he's at. That's why I'm crying. I mean, it's like when somebody says, like, are you okay? And you just want to be like, dude, does it look like I'm okay? Like, am I supposed to be okay right now? You know, it's like, that's probably how Mary kind of felt maybe in this moment. And she doesn't even really, here's the thing. She's spending this energy and this effort weeping, yet if she understood what had happened, there is play. We feel this sometimes. We feel the stress. We feel the weight, the emotions of everything that's going on around us. And if we're not careful, that then overtakes us and we lose sight of the fact that maybe Jesus is standing right here beside us. You see, Mary, she's so caught up in her emotions, she doesn't even realize that it's Jesus that she's talking to. And I think sometimes our emotions so overtake us that it clouds our judgment. It clouds our ability to see God's faithfulness and the hope that is available to us. And so we end up spending a whole lot of our time and our energy, not at peace, but in a place of unrest and struggle and anxiety. But if we would just see that it's Jesus that's here, that changes everything. I love what is recorded in Philippians 4, verse 7. Talks about the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. You see, our emotions will say to us, you don't understand this, therefore just feel emotional and get completely out of whack. But Scripture tells us, no, there's going to be times that you just don't understand, but there's a peace that comes from God that's going to surpass your lack of understanding. And in Jesus Christ, that's going to guard your mind, that's going to guard your heart. Because Jesus rose up, you and I can rise up and be who we were meant to be. But look how this conversation continues on. I love how it continues on in verse 16. It says that Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned and said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary went and announced to his disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he said these things to her. Here's what I love, is that the resurrected Jesus calls out to her by name. She's full of emotion, she's stressed, she doesn't know what's happening, but she hears the voice of the Lord call her out by name. It says, "Mary," and in that, I imagine she went from weeping to joy because she recognized that voice that called her by name. And I think that's significant for us to see because resurrected Jesus doesn't just see you as a face in the crowd. He sees you as a unique individual that he knit together in your mother's womb. You have a name, and God addresses you by name. He calls out to you because he loves you in that way. He wants a relationship with you in a very personal and real way. So he doesn't just look at you and say, "Oh, it's another stressed out person." He says, "No, there is Josh, and I love him, even though he doesn't even really see that I'm here right now." Is that not good news this morning? That's in John, we see in John chapter 10 and verse 3. It says that the sheep hear his voice. Mary was a sheep. She heard his voice. She was familiar with the voice of Jesus. And it says, and the shepherd, Jesus, he calls his own sheep by what? Name, and leads them out. Jesus rose up so you could rise up and fulfill your calling and be who you were meant to be. And Jesus, in the midst of that, is going to call you out. And he, when he calls you out, that is the actual definition of the church. Do you know that? The definition of church, when Jesus said it, is not a building. It's not a service like what you're sitting through right now. It is literally the gathering of the called out ones. So when Jesus invites you to follow him, he is saying, "I'm calling you out so that you can then be led by me." That is Jesus' definition of church. So this is awesome what we're setting in right now. But what Jesus cares about just as much, if not maybe even more, is what happens when you leave from this place. Because not only is he with you now wanting to speak, he is actually wanting to go with you as you live, work, and play, as you go through the things that you're going through. That's the hope of the resurrection. The good news is you don't have to wait till Sunday to experience Jesus. You can experience him tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. It's not just a Sunday thing. Yes, he rose and we celebrate it on Sunday, but it is so much more than that. You got to have a moment where it clicks. You're going to be tempted to get sidetracked and distracted by worry and stress and anxiety. But look at the last part of this, toward the end of this chapter, verse 19, it says, "On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord, and Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you.'" I think he would say that to us this morning, like, "Peace be with you. I am alive. I have overcome death. It doesn't matter how big you think the obstacles are in front of you. I've got this." That's what Jesus would say. He says, "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So I will say this, is that your experience with him is what's really going to matter. Your experience with him is what's really going to matter as you move forward from today. So much in our culture, it's kind of a symptom of the culture that we live in here in the Bible Belt and in Knoxville, is that we're so tempted to ride on the coattails of someone else's faith. Whether it's your parents, your grandparents, a pastor, we tend to ride on the coattails of somebody else's faith. The good news of the resurrection, the hope this morning, is that Jesus wants this to get personal. Your experience matters with him. Not only does he call Mary by name, but he goes and he shows up in the midst of the disciples because he wants them to know that he was resurrected and living. And in that same way, I'm praying that he's speaking into your heart right now in such a personal way that he's showing up so you can begin to think about what it looks like for you to experience him, not just in this moment, but even as you leave. He has this moment with these disciples. And I mean, can you just imagine the celebration? in that moment. Probably awe at first. It's like, oh, we're really looking at a dead man. But then it's like, Jesus is like, just breathe. I'm here. Like I told you this was going to happen. I'm here. It's all good. Just like I said it would be. And he's saying that to you this morning. He's saying, it's all good. I'm here. I rose up, so guess what? You can rise up. You don't have to stay defeated. And there's nothing more powerful than your experience with him. And as you get to tell that and let God shape that. And I threw it out last week and I said, you know, hey, has somebody been seeing God do something crazy in your life? And like, he's just showing himself faithful. And like, could I just share a quick snapshot of that? And I had several cool stories that came in just on how God's just, people are experiencing him. I mean, one person sent me a message and said, you just talked about focusing on Jesus. And I went home after the sermon and was talking to my neighbor who was about to pass away. And you know what the neighbor talked about? Focusing on Jesus. And they said it was such a reminder that God is so in tune with my life that not only did I hear a sermon about it, but I hear a man that's about to die say the same thing. It's like, the guy said it was one of the most powerful conversations he's ever had in his life to experience the presence of God. We had a young couple in our church that got married just a couple weeks ago. 5 days before their wedding, his truck gets stolen. Now, how many of you all, be honest, your truck gets stolen 5 days before your wedding? Yeah, you got a little freak out, right? I'm sure they had a moment where they freaked out a little bit. But as I got to walk with them through that week, to watch, and both of them young in their faith, to watch how they just basically said, you know what, devil can steal my truck, but not going to steal my joy, was just a cool thing to watch God move. There's somebody else that's struggling with work. And she said, you know, I was just feeling like I didn't really even know like if my work even mattered. I get up and go do this thing, and I've been doing it for years, and things are just changing a little bit. And just I don't even know if like my, does it even matter what I do anymore? Maybe you can relate to that. You got a job you're going to get up and go to tomorrow, and you're just wondering, does this even matter anymore? She said, I just brought that tension and that wrestling before God, and he just kept bringing me to my knees. And she said, just through the words that God's been speaking, he's showing me that he's not finished with me yet. It's just a few little snapshots of like, you say, well, that's not anything radical. You know what? I think sometimes we look for the radical and we miss just how God wants to speak right into the normal everyday life. He's there, and your experience with him matters. And he says to the disciples, peace be with you. I'm now equipping you to go fulfill your calling, to go be who I've trained you up to be. And that's an invitation for every single one of us. I'm going to ask the team to come back up, and they're going to lead us in a song. And I would like to ask that you put yourself in a reflective posture, whatever that looks like for you. Maybe that's closing your eyes. Maybe it's bowing your head. Maybe it's just looking up. Maybe it's just continuing to do what you've been doing this morning. I don't know what that looks like for you, but I just want to invite you to get into a reflective posture and just begin to eliminate maybe any distractions of movement around the room. And we've been saying this morning, right, that Jesus rose up so you could rise up, fulfill your calling, be who he's called you to be. What does that mean? What does rising up actually look like for you today? Like, let's make this personal. What is it that's going on in your life that you need to rise up from? What does rising up look like? I think rising up actually looks like laying down. It's laying down yourself, your pride, your control, your heart. Bringing that before God and saying, God, here I am. I'm surrendering. I'm giving this up to you. Maybe you've never really responded to Jesus in that way. I invite you this morning, if you're at that point of like true surrender to step into a relationship with Jesus, we'd love to have you do that this morning. And you respond to him right there where you're at. Like, that invitation is there for you to just have that conversation. Admit that you've been doing life on your own, but now you need him. You need him to show up and speak into your life. And you believe in him. You believe in who he was. You believe in the resurrection. And you're trusting him with your life moving forward. That's something you can settle right there where you're at. If you do that, we'd love to come alongside you and celebrate with you this morning. And our hope as a church, like when you surrender to Jesus, it's not like, yay, there's another number for us to count. That is not our heart. We want to come alongside you and help you continue to unpack those next steps that God has for you. At the same time, Maybe you know you've already surrendered to Christ. So I would say, what does it look like for you to trust in the power of His name and who He is this morning? Is it related to your marriage? Is it related to your kids? Is it related to work? Is it a sin struggle that's going on inside of you? During our night of worship on Thursday night, we had this cross front and center on the stage. And you can see the pieces of paper that are nailed to the cross. Those were all things that people wrote down and declared and said, you know what, this has been holding me back. But because I know what Jesus did on that cross, I'm nailing this to the cross. No more am I carrying this. Jesus has already carried it for me. Why am I trying to do it? Maybe that's where you're at this morning. You need to just maybe even write something out to God and say, you know what, I'm done. Like Jesus not only died for this, but He completely obliterated it when He resurrected. Like, why am I stressing over this? He's got it. I'm just going to trust the Holy Spirit speaking right into you and where you're at. So I'm going to pray for us. And then I want to invite you to continue to just reflect. That means pray. We're going to sing a pretty powerful song. So I would invite you to stand and sing this last song if you're not going to be praying and reflecting. Just let God lead you into this moment of response. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You that we celebrate a risen King. We don't serve a God who's distant and disconnected, but He's very present and real and even knows us and calls us by name. So in these moments, Father, I just ask You continue to speak in the way that only You can. Thank You, God, that You know the numbers. You have counted the number of hairs on our head. That's how involved in our lives You are. Forgive us, Father, for when this is stripped down and we make all of this, the resurrection, Your death, Your invitation to follow You. God, forgive us when we strip this down to just a Sunday morning religious thing. May we see it as so much more. Speak to our hearts, though, in this moment. Remind us of the beauty of who You are, the beauty of Your name, the power of Your name. Lead us into this, and we thank You, Father, for how You'll continue to stir and move in our midst, even as we leave from this place today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.